Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the all-new KVLU Radio Network. That's the Blue Raven Network. Visit our website at www.1blueraven.feebly.com.
Never replicated. You're listening to the all-new KVLU Radio Network, Blue Raven Network.
Listening to SOJC Radio, where truth in the Word of God is found.
We declare that the kingdom of God is here.
Good morning, and welcome to SOJC Radio Church. Grab your Bible and your pens and your paper, and when two or three are gathered in His name, the Lord is right here with us. So thank you for joining us, and here's Brother David.
We're going to take our first break this morning, and then we are going to be right back on FOJC Radio Church.
An overcomer song we sing to God. We cannot escape His chastening rod. We have been adopted His sons and daughters we. He loves us, forgives us, and calls us to be free. Sing, O children, clap your hands. Shout victory in Jesus all through the lands. Sing, O children, clap your hands. Shout victory in Jesus all through the lands. Sing, overcomer, lift your voice and sing. Let your love for Jesus and praises to Him ring. You are not alone, though others you can't see. We are one in spirit, His body are we. Sing, O children, clap your hands. Shout victory in Jesus all through the lands. Sing, O children, clap your hands. Shout victory in Jesus all through the lands. To the lost and dying world, your gospel we bring. Let them see you, Jesus, in every little thing. Give us your power, send down your mercy. Repentance, forgiveness will set the captives free. Our Lord will soon return, our time is now. He will give us strength, He'll show us how. To gather His harvest, there's healing in His wing. Endure tribulation, give praise to Him we sing. Sing, O children, clap your hands. Shout victory in Jesus all through the lands. Sing, O children, clap your hands. Shout victory in Jesus, victory in Jesus, victory in Jesus all through the lands.
We thank God for each and every one of you. We really mean that, studying with us this morning. And what we're going to do, we have a lot of more things we want to share here from the Word of God. Then Donna's going to be playing a song, and it'll be a time to examine your hearts and to prepare yourself to partake in this celebration of the Passover this morning. And we're not going to waste anytime, we're going to get back to our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 7. Now, 1 Corinthians 10, 7, and the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. If you will just allow it, the Bible will interpret itself for you. Now, in 1 Corinthians 10 and 7, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And here, where the apostle says, as it is written, he is quoting Exodus 32 and 6. So we're going to go back and allow Scripture to interpret Scripture, and we're going to look in Exodus chapter 32 just exactly what the Apostle Paul was referring to. And he's referring specifically to the golden calf episode. Let's read it in the Word of God. Exodus chapter 32, verse 1 says, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and of your sons and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Now this is the verse the apostle quotes in 1 Corinthians 10:7, and they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Now here again, the comparison is unmistakable, the eating and the drinking, the comparison that Paul is making to what God has provided. The Israelites despised God's miraculous eating and drinking and went to the pagan festival. You despise baptism and the Lord's Supper. You want the pagan festivals incorporated into your worship. Now, in verse 5, Aaron proclaims it a feast to the Lord. Now, I can say that this took place probably on either the spring equinox or the winter solstice. And I would lean toward the winter solstice. I can't definitely prove this, but I can say I believe it, and there's a lot of strong indicators to why this is so. Now, this shows you that just because someone says, this is a feast of the Lord, and even if you're the high priest, the brother of Moses, he said, this is a feast of the Lord, but it didn't make it a feast of the Lord, did it? Now, they had just come out of Egypt, and in the rites of Osiris, there was a golden calf that was worshipped at the spring equinox and at the winter solstice. And at the winter solstice, they would take a golden calf, and they would drape it in black, and they would mourn for the loss of spring and the death of spring and the oncoming of winter. And they would worship the golden calf, and then they would have their eating and drinking. And in the eating and drinking, they believed they were actually eating the flesh and drinking the blood of the god. And then in the spring, they would dress the bull up with flowers and everything, and they would have their little orgies and their little pagan thing that they did. And at the spring equinox and the winter solstice, the calf was definitely attached to the worship and the mystery rites of Osiris. Also, in the New Testament times, and at the time when the date was actually set, falsely so, for the birth of Christ on December 25th, it was the cult of Mithras. that was the main instigator. And in the Cult of Mithras, Mithras is shown as a young man with a Phrygian cap standing on the back of a bull cutting the bull's throat. And in the rites of Mithras, the worship and the sacrifice of the calf was huge. It was the central part of the rite of worship, which also took place on December 25th, which was the supposed date of the birth of Mithras, and also in the spring equinox. So what God had Moses do to write after this, God had Moses write a book, and that book became a bestseller. It was called the Book of Leviticus. Now let's look at Leviticus chapter 23, Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 2. And the scripture says here, and in Leviticus 23, the feasts of the Lord are spelled out. In Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. And in here you can see the feast of the Passover, the feast of Pentecost, you can see the feast of Tabernacles. But what you do not see, you can say, oh, feast of the golden calf. I don't see that. Oh, I don't think I can go down to the feast of the golden calf. God says these are his feasts. And if I keep these, I'm good, but if I try to add another feast and proclaim this is the feast of the Lord, well, I'm going to be an idolater, and I am going to die in the wilderness. Now, in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 4, there's something that we do not want to miss. In Exodus 32 and 4, when it says, and he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Now, in Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 through 6, in the Ten Commandments, there, what we want to understand is the Apostle Paul did not charge them of breaking the first commandment. He charged them with breaking the second commandment. Now, the first commandment in Exodus 23, thou shalt have no other gods before me. They did not break this commandment technically, because what they were saying is that that golden calf represents Jehovah. And we're going to bring this out from a scripture in the Psalms. And what the commandment they broke was the second commandment against idolatry. Thou shalt, in Exodus 20 and 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. And what they were saying, and what might have happened, it's so extraordinary. Look at Exodus chapter 24, verse 9. And Aaron there, my goodness, in Exodus 24 and 9, it says, then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. And the nobles of the children of Israel he laid, and upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand. Also they saw God and did eat and drink. Can you imagine? God actually brought Aaron up the mountain to eat and drink with him, and Aaron still went into idolatry. Now, what might have happened, I don't know for sure, But we know that the cherubims carry the throne of God. And in Ezekiel, the first chapter, the cherubims are described as looking like calves. And in Ezekiel chapter 1, it says, every cherubim has a face like a man, an ox, an eagle, and a lion. And this might be how Aaron made it. And this might be why he said, these are your gods. And also in the Hebrew language, there's a plural of majesty. We don't know. But it also says that the cherubim's feet are like calves' feet. The cherubim resembles a calf. So this might have been what was going on. But what we don't want to miss is that Aaron said, this is okay. I can add this feast to the Lord. We can bring in the calf. We can bring in the dancing. We can bring in the rites of Egypt because I'm really worshiping Jehovah. And this is the logic today. I can have my Christmas tree. I can have a copy of the Purpose-Driven Life underneath my Christmas tree. I can have my Christmas dinner of cucumbers and leeks and melons. But it's okay because I'm worshiping Jesus. I'm worshiping Jesus this way. And the whole point that Paul and the Holy Ghost and Irenaeus is making is that no, you can't. If what God has provided is not good enough for you, and you have to add paganism to it, you are going to fall in the wilderness, and you are going to be overthrown. Now, let's go to Psalm 106. Psalm 106. And let's look at verses 19 through 20. Psalm 106, verse 19 through 20. And the scripture says here, and here the psalmist is referring back to the golden calf episode, and it says, they made a calf in Horeb and worshiped the molten image, and they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. And here the psalmist makes it plain that they took their glory, Jehovah, and tried to portray Jehovah as a calf. That broke the second commandment big time. And by adding in the feast of Egypt to the worship of God, they were overthrown in the wilderness. And it was the most severe thing. Now let's go to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. And just a couple more things we have time to say this morning. Let's go to Acts chapter 7. And let's begin reading in verse 39. Acts chapter 7, verse 39. To whom, and this is Stephen's speech, the first martyr. To whom, yeah, they kill you for this stuff. To whom our fathers. Now, remember how Paul started out in 1 Corinthians 10? Our fathers. And here again, Stephen and the Holy Ghost is enforcing these Old Testament examples on the church, the certain example, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, and saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us. As for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And they made. You see, we either go with what God has provided. God has given us the ordinances of baptism. He's given us the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And if that isn't good enough for you, and you have to have something that some man has made, you're going to get in trouble. And they made a calf in those days, and offered sacrifices unto the idol, and rejoiced in the work of their own hands. It wasn't from God, it was from their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up. God gave them up because they persisted in wanting to do their idolatrous feasts God gave them up. Now, what exactly does that mean? That means that if you want to persist in willful sin, God will give you over to that, and the convicting power of the Holy Ghost will no longer trouble with you with that if you want to persist in it. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 16, it says, "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry." Idolatry stirred the heart of the Apostle Paul. Does it stir yours, or does it not bother you? When we get to the place, and this is where the modern American church is, most of them and many of them have been given over into idolatry. Because the idolatry of Freemasonry and the pagan holidays and many other things we can mention, it doesn't stir their heart anymore because they have wanted to persist in it and they have been given over to it. Now, in Acts chapter 7, let's read in verse 43 and let's read a few more scripture in Acts chapter 7, verse 43, because this is so important. It says here, "Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star god of your god Rimthan, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen." God actually gave them a tabernacle that was the exact representation of what was in heaven, and it wasn't good enough for them. And this is the point Stephen is making, just as well as the Apostle Paul. God has given us a beautiful form of worship. He's given us baptism and the Lord's Supper. That's not good enough for people. They want to add to that what has been made with man's hands. In verse 45, "which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. Howbeit," in verse 48, "the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet." And here, Stephen is quoting 1 Kings 8:27, and this is actually what Solomon said when he dedicated the temple. He said, "The Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands." And the Jews accused Stephen of attacking the temple. And Stephen said, "I'm defending the true temple." And quoting Solomon, he said, "The Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands." And today, people would accuse me of attacking the church. I am not attacking the church. I am defending the church. Because what these people are teaching, it's destroying the church. And indeed, the church in America has sunk into deep and rank apostasy. And this is just all too obvious. Now, what we're going to do, we are going to have a time of examination, and then we are going to come back, and we are going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. And as the Bible says, let's examine our hearts this morning. And if we have aught against our brother, unforgiveness, if we have any known sin in our life, whatever this morning, we need to confess to the Lord. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let's take a couple moments to do that, and then we're going to come back and we're going to celebrate the Passover together.
Which art in heaven.
thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is. Forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power.
Amen. I'm not going to read the traditional passage this morning. I want to read from Acts 2 and 42. And I want to give explanation this morning that when we take the bread, that the bread symbolizes the body of Christ that died on the cross for us. And it also symbolizes the body of all true believers discerning the Lord's body, that say, Jesus is enough for me. That's the bread symbolizes. And the juice or the wine this morning symbolizes the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross for us. And by doing this, we focus ourselves upon Jesus, what he did on the cross, what he taught in his word, that it's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus that our faith is in. This focuses our faith this morning on him that give his body and blood for us. And I want to read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 this morning. Three scriptures I want to read before we celebrate this morning. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And in verse 46 and 7 of Acts 2, it says, "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." And Jesus didn't build any buildings. He didn't tell anyone else to build any buildings. None of the apostles built any buildings. Neither did they tell anyone else to build any. It wasn't until the time of Constantine that church buildings began to be built. They met in homes. They met in public. They met in outdoor places. They would meet in outdoor buildings on their own property. They would knock out walls and make room to meet. Christian worship was simple. It was pure. God anointed apostles and teachers, and these teachers would appoint elders, and the early church was powerful. The worship was simple. You see, I don't need a million-dollar building. I don't need a 501c3 incorporation. I don't need all of these things. And in fact, these are all things that have been added by man to the worship of God. All I need, I've got right here. I've got my cracker, I've got juice, I've got the Lord, and I've got you. That's all we need this morning. And when we try to add to that, we sin. What God has given to us is pure, it's right, it's holy, and it's powerful. It will save your soul, and it will change your life. And the Lord will add such as should be saved as we walk in obedience to that He has given to us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for each and every one that is gathered together to celebrate this morning. We want to say to You, Lord, You are enough for us. Jesus, You're enough. Your Word is enough. That which You have given to us, where two or three are gathered, not 20 or 30, but two or three. And we are gathered together in Your name this morning to celebrate that which You have given us. We thank You for Your body and blood. We thank You for the simplicity of Christian worship, that we can follow You and worship You in spirit and truth. And this morning, we thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And let us partake of the bread this morning, understanding that it is the body of our Lord broken for us. Let's partake together. Lord, we thank You, Jesus, for Your body that was broken. We thank You, Lord. We just pray that each and every one this morning feel Your presence and Your blessing. And Lord, we just take the cup this morning, knowing it represents the precious blood of Jesus shed for us, that blood that won the victory over every principality and power. Let's partake of the cup together. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Father, we thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus. We thank You for the blood that was shed. We thank You, Lord, that we can follow You in the simplicity of the gospel and the purity and the power of Your Son, Jesus. Lord, we thank You and we give You the praise. And we just ask Your mighty blessings upon each and every one celebrating with us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. And we will see you next week on FOJC Radio Church. God bless you all.
You're listening to FOJC Radio, where truth in the Word of God is found.
This is Donna Carrico, and I'm here with our sister in the Lord, Miss Rebecca Ogie. She's from Mableton, Georgia, originally from Nigeria. And we're having a great time of prayer here. She came all the way from Georgia to meet with us and get prayer, and we're just so excited for her to be here. So right now, I'm going to turn the mic over to Rebecca, and she's going to just give you a little bit of her testimony. So, Rebecca, go right ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Sister Dana. I am very happy to be here with Sister Dana and Brother David today, and I'm happy to get to know them, because for a very long time I had a lot of disappointments with pastors, with fake pastors, churches here and there. I didn't know where to go, and I prayed God to show me His people. I said there must be good people out there. There must be true believers out there who likes to worship God in the spirit and the truth. And before I knew it, God answered the prayers and led me to brother and sister Dana and brother David. So I didn't care how much it's going to cost me to come from Georgia to come see them so we can talk. And I came, and I'm glad I came. And everything about her book, about their book that I've read, is just the truth, nothing but the truth. And about the Christmas, from beating to veto, the book I've read is a very powerful one. And when I read through it, actually energized me. I feel like going out there and do what Jesus wants us to do. And coming here today to meet with them has been a blessing. About Christmas, that I had questions about it long time ago, because in Nigeria, both the voodoo worshippers, the witch doctors, everybody, they celebrate it. They call the Christmas. They call the Christmas. The Christmas, the small New Year, and the New Year, the big New Year. They celebrate big time with the drum and the beating and the singing and carry on. So I never knew why they were doing it. Of reading from the book that I read from Sadana wrote, I found out why they are celebrating, because it's not necessarily Christmas, the birth of Christ. It's just a ritual that they go through. So it's a pleasure to be able to learn all this and having to know all the secrets about what is going on with the spiritual world. So I'm very, very happy and happy to know these people, Sister Dana and Brother David. And I'm glad I'm here, and I'm very happy to know them. And I want you all to stay with Jesus and be the follower of Jesus, and just do what Jesus says, and don't listen to what others are doing, because it's really very bad out there with the churches. Thank you.
We want to praise the Lord and thank the Lord for sending Rebecca our way. We're really thrilled because Rebecca has six children, and two of which live in Nigeria, and the rest of them here in the States, and she's going to be sharing our resources with them so they can share it wherever they are. So praise God for that. And if there's anyone else that wants to ask questions or come visit us, just give us a call at 812-473-3735. God bless you all. Thanks for listening.
This is January 3rd, 2015. you for being a part of FOJC Radio Church. You can contact us at FOJC, Post Office Box 4174, Evansville, Indiana, 47724-4174. Or you can call us at area code 812-473-3735. Or you can email us at lastdayschurch@cs.com. Or you can check out our website at www.ritualabusefree.org. That's all one word, ritualabusefree.org. That's RITUALABUSEFREE.org. And please remember to tune in next Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time. Thanks and God bless.
We declare the kingdom of God is here among you.
You're listening to the all-new KBOU Radio Network. That's the Blue Raven Network. Visit our website at www.1blueraven.feebly.com.
Often duplicated, never replicated. You're listening to the all-new KBLU Radio Network, Blue Raven Network.
Your